The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to The Weekend Podcast. Joining me is Pete, Steve. Paddy's not here. You all right, lads?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
I was just thinking that it's funny how COVID is eclipsing our lives. Like earlier in the week, Paddy's not here because he's having a vaccination. Yeah. A COVID vaccine. I didn't know Paddy was above 80. I thought he was younger than me.
I don't know how he's wangled that, but there you go.
Why is he having a jab? I don't understand. He's in the queue there. He said apparently there's quite a few people there under 70 looking like they're working normal jobs.
Do you reckon it actually is the vaccine queue, or he's just joined the queue?
Yeah. Well, also in the week, Steve, you said your parents went, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah, but they had it was a leftover vaccine, and they heard a rumour on the grapevines. They went and queued and got it. So
I love that in Wales, do you? Right, listen, boys, there's some spare vaccine down the road, do you, right? Come with me, right? Right, you have one jab for tenner, or three for 40. Oh, I'll have three for 40, please. I'll have one more. So
sprinkles? Do you want sprinkles on top?
And do you want a lolly as well? We've got lollies going. My father's had his done as well down the road. They said it suggested to him, right? But my mother didn't have it. She's having it on Monday. But they said, mentioned his wife, said, oh, you should have brought your wife as well. So I think what they're doing, if you just go along to these places, they do have extra vaccines sometimes, and they'll just jab them because they want to advertise that because they don't want millions of people turning up, you know? Oh, it's free for all. Let's go, queue for vaccines, which is a nuts thing. But it's literally, Paddy's had COVID. Vaccines are happening. It's all happening around us, isn't it, you know? And do you know what, though? What I call it. There's a Brexit advantage there, right there, wasn't it, today, this week? But the EU, so slow on vaccinating the population there. If we were still in the EU now, say Pete and Steve, we wouldn't be vaccinating people now. We'd vaccinate about three people, that's all. And now they were whinging about AstraZeneca. They haven't even passed it. They didn't give it, regulatory approval. So we want our vaccines. You haven't even passed. And it wasn't a coincidence how, when that kicked off, all of a sudden, they've just passed it. Their regulatory board just passed the AstraZeneca vaccine just during the argument of when they should have doses. That was a fix, wasn't it? Isn't that odd? Do you think find that odd?
It seemed a bit weird, yeah. But, yeah, if we were still in the EU, would we have fallen under all of that?
European Medical Council. Now we got our own. We are the fastest of clearing all vaccines. I just don't think that if you do the tests and they're safe, just go for it. What's the problem? Yeah. Were you in the shower, Steve?
No.
It sounds really. It sounds like a water gun by anyway. But
yes. No, I'm in the toilet. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, on the podcast, I think the lockdown. I think the end is in sight. I really do. So we're looking forward as well. Lessons learned from GameStop. Pop and drop. Do you know money buys happiness? There was a survey out this week that previously, apparently, money said you couldn't buy happiness. It was $75,000 a year. If you earn that, earning more than that substantially won't make you happier. But there's new research out this week saying money buys you happiness. Basically, the more money you have, the more happy you get.
Right.
Anyway, I want to talk about Clubhouse as well. I don't think I use that. But I reckon that. What do you think about the? Did you listen to the announcement that Boris made about the schools opening probably in March the 8th? What's your thoughts on that? I mean, because I think that's end of lockdown pretty much, isn't it? Start of. What do you think?
No, I don't think so. I just don't think it. I think that now after all this, third lockdown or whatever, I think they're nuts if they go back too quickly, like if everything goes back. It's not going to be this kind of, right, lockdown's over. It's just going to be phased over the next few months, isn't it?
Paddy just sent us a badge on WhatsApp, a picture of a badge. I've had my COVID vaccine with a little heart shaped and a crown in the middle like a king.
Oh, my God.
They do give out badges. I don't believe that. They give out, that's amazing.
Will that get you on a flight and stuff now?
Yeah, that's it. That's all you need. That's your vaccine passport. Yeah, that's going to happen.
It looks like a 3D sticker as well, like the red and blue. Come out at you.
But the thing is, we're attacking this from both angles now. We are, like I said, if you look at the stats, right, The 90% of the beds in hospitals are filled with over 65-year-olds. Now, Paddy's not even 65, so there are, you know, I think it was like they've done about 90-odd percent of over 80-year-olds, which is the main category. They're like 80% of the beds filled up by them. So if you bring that down, that's why we're locked down. I can't see, and if you look at the figures, are creeping down. I tweeted out yesterday, but now we're down below 3,000 a day, which was above 4,000 at the peak. So that's coming down. And if that permanently stays down, because of course, if they've got a vaccine, most of those people will be protected, they won't go in a hospital. So I genuinely think this is the end of it, last lockdown. There's more vaccines coming on stream. And there's a problem with supply, but they are upgrading their manufacturing processes, all, you know, Pfizer and AstraZeneca. So there'll be more coming on stream anyway. And I think if you still have to be sensible, I think. I think flying to different countries would be a problem because, like I said, we are ahead. Of course, I mean, you know, it's the only thing we've pretty got right. But if you want to get something right, this is probably it, the vaccine. We are probably ahead of most countries. The thing is, we got a holiday booked to the Dominican Republic in April, right?
Right.
And I'm thinking our end may be good because we probably get vaccinated by then. Mm. But I don't know what it's like in other countries. It's up to them, isn't it?
You
know?
And then coming back as well, you're going to have to be quarantined.
But I don't know if you're vaccinated.
Surely you won't have to be quarantined if you've had the vaccine. Surely.
Yeah, can you transmit
it? Although, actually, you probably won't have had the vaccine by April, though. So.
No.
Well, we will. Think about it, right? I was doing the maths yesterday. We've already done now close to 8 million people. I think they will achieve that target of 15 million. It's going to get easier and faster as things go on and as more pharmacies and roll out and become vaccinate centres. So looking at those stats, by end of March, they've done about 20 million. Another 10 million probably by end of April. So that's 30 million. That's half the population. Now I'll probably be in the top. Well, I'm 50. I'll be 50 next. I'm 50 in 2 weeks' time. So I'm in that upper age category. How is Paddy getting his?
I don't understand the Paddy thing. That's why. I mean, I was hoping that it's that he lives in a really high infection. I'm not hoping he lives in a high infection area, but it was because he lives in a high infection area that they're doing it logically and they're covering that. But or is it just a complete lottery? I don't know. It's bizarre.
Well, I think it's the same as in Wales. Oh, listen, mate, do you want a vaccine? Yeah, pop down the centre. Right?
Well, no, because he's booked in for one, so it's not a case of just turn up, is it?
I know.
He's got a letter saying, "Yep, Paddy, come on down."
Maybe he's got a medical condition we don't know about.
Yeah, just pop down the centre. Say no, Keith. Let you in, right? Just
say 85.
I'm 85. I'm Keith. I know Keith. All right, come on in. Dan, get in that queue over there. That's Keith's queue.
Go on.
Yeah. Maybe give somebody sticking little bungs in the pocket. Yeah. Keith's queue. just check a fiver in the pot. Check a fiver quick. Yeah. Shh. Right.
Will I get a sticker? Yeah, you'll get a sticker.
Yeah. It's an official sticker as well. Get your official sticker, yeah.
It's probably somebody selling stickers in South London.
Do you know what I said there, right? And I thought this is a good thing. The problem is, right, they're going to have to get ahead of this government, right? Because if the admissions are down by March and all the figures are low and they're not, you know, unlocking, there's going to be riots. People are not going to stick by the rules by then. There's problems right now, even when the infection rate is really high and the NHS is overwhelmed, there are people not obeying the rules. That mass snowball fight that people thought was quite good. Just someone organised a mass snowball fight on the week. And I thought, is that nuts or what? Have a little snowball fight with your family, maybe. But there was thousands of people playing. And I thought, are you taking the, you know, really
I've got
are.
A question about this. So, for example, those guys there, it was two students, wasn't it? Yeah. So they've been fined £10,000 each. Mm. Now, and obviously a lot of these parties are students and people who are like 16 to 20-year-olds probably, and they're getting these £10,000 fines. Now, obviously they don't have £10,000 to pay. So there's a little bit dubious on me on these fines. Is that those fines are just going to get wiped out for some odd reason, aren't they? Because they're like, well, you can't afford to pay them, can you? Or I don't know. How do you?
Maybe, but the thing is, if you got a crowd like that, just crowdfund it and say, if you turned up the snowball fight and you had a good time, just chuck a couple of quid in. Really, I got a fine for that. It's like, and we'll arrange for next week as well. But so my thought is this, right? They should just bother to say, right, we will end lockdown on the 1st of March if. And there's two ifs, two conditions. The R rate is below 0.7. Right now it's around about sort of, I think, below 1, isn't it? And hospital admissions are below 1,000 a day. If we get there, we'll unlock, and that's it. And then people would... Because, do you know what? You're getting frustrated. I'm getting frustrated with it, lockdown. I really am. This week, I've just felt like going... I didn't really want to shout. I've had enough of this. And I think a lot of people are getting like that, really frustrated.
You never leave the house.
I know. That's the odd thing. I just feel hemmed in. No, but we do live there. We you know, we go out, don't we? You know, we go to restaurants and we miss it sometimes every weekend with the kids away. We can't do any of that. So just kids in the house non-stop with
us.
Yeah,
I can imagine, living like in a family like that, you must get cabin fever. Like, you haven't been apart, have you? Like, you haven't had your own time.
Exactly, and the kids, literally every day we're arguing with the kids. Because you have to tell the kids something, you know, it's amazing how selective on listening they are. You can ask them 10 times to just brush their teeth, and they really, and just won't hear you. And then, I've asked you 10 times now! You didn't. Yeah. I said, "God," and
it's nine times.
I know that's every night as well, though. You know, I do that every night. I said, "Boys, I've said to them, I'm nearly 50. I'm now spending the majority of my life just telling you to brush your teeth or do something mundane. I don't want to spend the rest of my life doing that. I haven't got much time left." And and you know, that's why it's so frustrating. Yeah. You have a break from them. Sometimes you have, you know, a month, once in a month maybe, they go up to see my mother-in-law's, they're there, and it's just a nice break. But things like that, it's just frustrating. Yeah. So I just think people are getting to that point where, you know, if we get, say, Boris said, right, last month now, let's really stick by the rules, let's get it down, let's get as many people vaccinated as possible, and then hopefully the reward will be, you know, letting out. Because at the moment, with no end in sight, there's no hope. Is it? You've got to have hope. Everyone's got to have a bit of hope in life, you know? And
so I think they've got that would be political suicide to name a date like that, even if you the criteria, because then whatever, a week later, the R8 suddenly shoots up to 0.9 again. Oh, my. And then it'll be like, uh-oh, we have to lock down, you know, all that. I don't know. I think he'd be stupid to do it.
Mm.
I know what you're saying, but I think he'd be stupid. But he's made lots of stupid decisions, so yeah, he might well do that.
Any first thoughts on the week? This week, it's been we needed the sell-off this week. We needed this. And it probably came from GameStop and all that stuff. I don't know if you saw about that. It's an odd thing, GameStop, isn't it? Because it was a failing business, pretty much. It's an old economy business that's selling games, physical games, from their stores. It's like Blockbuster Video, pretty much, but for games, you know? And they were shutting down, they had about 450 stores, they were shutting down a load of them. But a guy took a significant stake, because he liked the company, liked the games, a while back, and he said, right, go online more. You have to go online, challenge Amazon, all that stuff, in your niche, in your area. So that's where he wanted to move it, but it didn't really happen. And then there's a big short on it, you know? Wall Street funds basically betting that the share price would crash, pretty much. And then all these guys got together on Reddit and started buying the shares and shoved one up the Wall Street for hedge funds. But I believe some hedge funds are involved in that as well, involved in the shaft.
In the buying.
Yeah, in the buying as well. So then what happens if you're short a stock and you've borrowed stock, basically, you've sold it at a level and you want it to go down so you can buy it back up. You need to cover that. You need to buy. So you have double the amount of people. You have people buying and the hedge funds buying back up their shorts. So it really makes it go through the roof. And it went mad, didn't it? But
yes. But then they suspended trading, which is...
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Do you see what happened there? They suspended trading, right? And Robin Hood suspended trading, all that stuff. But Robin Hood were... one of their big shareholders is connected to the fund that lost $13 billion. So they were saying there's a bit of politics there. Because they stopped because they so there's a lot of dodgy things going on. But I mean, the whole thing, you know, people say, oh, it's one for the small investors. It's not... I believe probably so been so volatile, probably the inexperienced investor with no strategy and no experience probably get burned in that. They're probably scared when the share price went down. They're probably selling and they bought at a higher level, so they're all over that. And I just think even my nephew Henry was trying to get involved in it and saying, "Well, not BlackBerry now? Is it too late to get in BlackBerry?" I said, "Listen, first of all, I don't trade U.S. stocks." And I think there's good reason. There's plenty of, obviously, excellent companies in the US, and some of them rise a lot faster and are more highly valued than over here. But sometimes you've got to narrow your focus down. Having too many options can, you know, put you off and you lose your focus. So, and I said, secondly, that's not the kind of thing I do. I'm not going to trade in high volatile stocks and they're moving around because of an oddity, a quirk of the market. I'm not going to do that. I want to invest in businesses that do well, that have a sustained growth. You know, that's what I want. And so, the markets may have sold off because of that, because a couple of hedge funds have been burned. And of course, when you get that, then they put a lot of money at the market. The liquidity goes down. There's worry that other hedge funds, and there's also worry that there may be some hedge funds falling over and going bust. And if that happens, they're all interconnected, of course. You know, if they lose money. Someone else behind the bank's got to backstop that or something. It could be some kind of contagion going forward. But I don't think so.
Who ultimately loses when the hedge funds lose?
Yeah,
well, surely that comes down to us, though, surely.
I was talking to Russ Mould yesterday. Russ Mould yesterday was saying that basically there'd be a corporate bank behind them, of course, that they borrowed money off that will obviously not get the money. So, and then that bank then will have a big chunk of losses, and that gets knocked on everywhere else. And so, yeah, it's all interconnected. So when you drag a bit of money out to the market somewhere, it does have a knock-on effect. It just affects liquidity everywhere, So they said that's what happened. So, but I was worried, didn't we? We said this a couple of times, a bit bearish on the market because everyone's so bullish. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's that thing. When everyone's on one side of the boat, pretty much, it can tip over. When everyone's a buyer, and so I'm glad we had a bit of a sell-off. And so we had 2-3 days of selling off. But I'm not worried about the longer term because I just think there's that light at the end of the tunnel trade. We're climbing that wall of worry, and I think that'll keep happening. And I'm glad we're the sell-off. It's like a boiled kettle. It needs to let some steam off, and we need to come back a bit. Because, like I said, Steve, didn't you, said, every week my portfolio's hitting an all-time high. And I thought, yeah, that can't continue happening. You've got to have a bit of a sell-off, a couple of few days of worrying. And it is something. When you look at your stocks generally, you'll have a couple up, a couple down, maybe a couple of non-movers. When the bad days you have, you've got sometimes all of them in the red and maybe one non-mover, So kind of thing, you think, oh, it does frighten you a little bit. But I just looked at the chart of the VIX, which is the volatility index, and that spikes up. It's basically the opposite to the markets. When the markets go down, that goes up, and it's the volatility. And I looked at the RSI and that relative strength, and 2 or 3 times a year, the relative strength of the VIX index goes above 70 and it pops back down. But the biggest rise it's ever had since they started the VIX was in March of last year. And so, you survived that. We survived that and we've made more money since. So always think of it like that. And we always, as humans, we always think that the worry is bigger. The unknown, because it's unknown, we always price it in. The market always oversells, always overbuys.
Regarding the GameStop thing, we're not kind of out of the woods yet, are we? Because what's going to happen there? We don't know, but I mean...
Well, it went up by 60%
you're talking about, that ripple effect.
But I think the worry's over. When you think about it, again, I've gone through like 3 recessions now investing, right? And the biggest one, I've got to say the scariest one, was the financial crisis, because that was where the banks were going to go under, And that's like basically... Your engine running out of oil and seizing up. If the banks can't put money and liquidity in the system, everything seizes up. Every business goes through. And so that was the scariest thing of all, I think.
But isn't there a bigger concern here, the Reddit-fueled chaos, kind of could be done, could happen more often? People actually start, if we get enough of this group together, we can kind of create this ridiculous volatility.
But it's happened now. I think part of it came about because people didn't see it happening. So now it's happened, I think there'll probably be. And also, you have to, a number of factors that come together at once, didn't you? I mean, you had significant holders, you had as a stock that people really were fond of, the GameStop. And
a lot of people shorting it.
Yeah, and a lot of people sure, yeah. One of the most shorted stocks. So a lot of things came together there to create that. I think they've tried with other things. There are lots of other companies that are happening, they're trying to do it, but it's not, I don't think it's going to happen as bad. But also, if it keeps happening, it's market manipulation in a certain extent. And so SEC will look into it and say, and like I said, what they'll do in the future, the trading platforms will just stop them trading. They'll put, break switches in and say, you can't do that.
Okay.
And so, because now they're sort of prepared for it, aren't they?
It's funny in itself, isn't it? In that it's like, no, I'm not playing anymore. I'm taking my ball home.
Yeah, yeah. You are manipulating the market, but you've always done that. Yes, but we're allowed to because we got a license to do it. You haven't, and you are, you're not wearing the suits and you're not in Wall Street, okay?
Right.
So you're just the average Joe, so you can't do that. But it's amazing. But I saw people in the UK trying to jump on those trades, and I thought, why do you want to do that? I mean, if you're a trader, maybe. I genuinely think, right? I don't think most. I know. If you look at IG, the biggest thing, they on their website, they say 72 or 75% of people lose money trading. Now, why do you even why do you even want to challenge that stat? It's like 3 in 4 people lose money.
But how many people lose money gambling and yet
millions of people still gamble.
Yeah,
don't
yeah,
they? Because it's a thrill.
Exactly. I see people on Twitter every day, and I think, why are you doing that? If your aim is to make money in the stock market, why are you buying and selling like this all the time? Just the more convinced I am now, you're buying good stocks and holding on to them. Is like, you know, again, another company. I said Expediator. I talked about that at 20 pence. I remember, in fact, the first time I covered that was when we did a live weekend podcast. Yeah. And we came down the summer house, and I did some clues to what the company was, and that was like 20 pence. It's now 43 pence. And I thought, I sold that during the dash for cash, pretty much, back in March. I sort of quite liked it. And
yeah, but so did I. But I think I put the money in Gfinity, and that's done way better for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
No, I know. But you know what I'm saying is, if you do research on a good company, you're going to have volatility. It's going to go up and down in the market. It's like, do you know what? It's like Brand Shield, right? I said on that video I did, I said, the chart, it didn't tick the box of the chart. It'd risen, because I sent my newsletter out. There wasn't a lot of volume in the stock. People bought straight away, and it pushed the price up. I said, listen, now, that's risen very quickly. It's like 15%. Don't touch it here. The chart is not right. It's not going to tick the box. Let it cool off. I said, it may come back down 20-odd, 25 pence. And one of the investors said to me on Twitter, I don't think it'll come back that far. But it has, see? Because there's a seller in there. Liquidity has dried up a little bit now. People are focusing elsewhere. And so it's come down.
But
and
the story hasn't changed.
Yeah, the story hasn't changed. There. So that's what I'm saying.
It's a growing business. I'm in there. I'm okay with that.
And same with on the market. You know, that's been dipping recently. I'll tell you why it's dipped. Because if you look, there is I can hear some sound in the back of it. Can you hear that, Pete?
Yeah, I think it's Steve's brain.
Steve, what are you doing?
It's completely silent where I am.
Is it? It's gone silent now. I think Steve is running the shower or something. He's getting in the shower.
No, I'm sat on the sofa doing nothing.
All right.
Literally.
Okay. Are you stroking something?
Cat.
Oh, yeah. What was it about then? If you look at just talk about
Brand Shield.
Yeah, Brand Shield. No, on the market, right? So that's right. No news for a while. New CEO is coming in. He's obviously getting his legs under the table, feeling comfortable in the chair and stuff. But it's, we saw the trading update. It's very good. First time profitable. all that stuff. And but there's no news, and the share's just gradually moving downwards. Yeah. But some people have bought it, are starting to buy it. I've had a couple of Twitter guys saying, "I've looked it on the market. I quite like it. I've been buying it." And the nearest competitor, of course, is Rightmove, which is valued at, 60 times the valuation of on the market.
Yeah.
And there's this stamp duty issue. I don't know if you know about that. There's been a break in stamp duty because of COVID.
End of March.
Yeah, so now, though, you can't buy a house now and probably get it done for March. People are saying, worrying, you won't get that stamp duty relief. But there's a discussion on Monday, apparently, in the House of Commons about stamp duty, and they say it may be extended. And that may see... a bump up in this, but long term though, on the market is growing. Every year now, the stats, the website stats are up, the app stats are up, everything, the revenue's up. So, these little dips where sometimes you may sell, think, it's going down, are probably, opportunities and longer term. Like I said, so many companies now, on the weekend, I'll do a video of, earnings up for January and up to then. And look, so many companies I just sold on a whim and yet gone higher. And I thought, do you know what? Some of the time, just investing, staying put and just holding on to the stock. Do patience. That's why I tweeted yesterday. Sometimes it's all you need is a bit of patience.
Yeah. I mean, the bigger thing there, obviously, is the property market itself. And like you say, the stamp duty thing is a short-term thing that's impact now. But coming out of hopefully the pandemic and all the rest of it, are we going to see a drop in house prices because of the stamp duty thing that's overly inflated some of that because people have done that? I don't know.
But how will that impact on the market?
I was going to say, but people still want to sell or need to sell houses or move home house, move stock, whatever. So on the market, it's kind of insulated against like that sort of the price, the market prices or whatever. It's more about the movement of stock, isn't it?
If the house prices move in either direction, it's very good for on the market because you get more people looking for bargains, more people buying and selling, more people renting as well, maybe. So it's all through their website. So sometimes on the market goes in line, it moves like with house builders, but it's not though. A house builder will get knocked if house prices come down and they can't sell houses because although the margins get eroded, on the market doesn't. They charge a monthly fee to people, so it doesn't get hit like that. And in fact, if it does move in sympathy with the house builders and goes down, and then their financials comes out and shows Oh, in fact, they've done quite well. You know, then it'll re-rate. So there is a drop opportunity if they move in. So
looking at it now, and it's, you know, it's got to like 90p, hasn't it? And that, so I'm down in it now. But, you know, the more I'm thinking about it, I'm going, yeah, well, that is an opportunity now. It's a drop opportunity. Because it is. It hasn't changed. Fundamentally, it's still a good business. It's a good business model there. It's growing. And come a year, 2 years' time, it could be,
well, it's getting cheaper as well. It's now exactly. it was like a 100 million market cap pretty much when it was up to 130, and now it's 68 million market cap.
And Rightmove's market cap is what?
Yeah, 5.8 billion. Yeah,
5.8 billion. Sorry.
Yeah, 5.8 billion. So, and it, you know, if you look at the trading statement on the market, it's done very well. The revenues have been no less than 22.5 million, highest ever been. The maiden profit, it's going in the right direction. You know, so. It's all good and hood, guys. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what? It's odd. It's like, I had people, and Paddy, when Paddy, when Escape Hunt was like 7p, and he said, well, how come only you know about it? And I said, it's not that. Look at the valuation of the company. Look at what they're doing. You've got to look forward. The stock market looks forward, right? Always. And so I had two people on YouTube say, well, look at the share price has come down from, why is it coming down there? I said, but you're looking at the history. I mean, they've always said they're not going to be profitable for 15, 16, 17 sites. Now, they've got 17. In fact, they've got 18 signed up, pretty much. And so they're always going to be burning cash until site 17, 16, you know, there. Now they've got it, the inflection point. They're going to start generating, you know, positive EBITDA. And so I said, the stock market looks forward. You've got to understand that. You know, when it can, okay, it doesn't see left of field things happening like pandemics, and so it will, you know, bomb on that. But generally, it looks, you know, if you're basing your research on a financial report, it basically means you're 6 months out of date, at least, you know. So to find winning companies, you have to find where they're going, not where they've been. And that's the whole thing. You don't drive a car looking in the rearview mirror because you'll become a cropper, you know. And I saw a website recently. I mean, the most popular companies, you know, largely, you know, underperform. The most popular companies. I see companies at the moment, like Novacyt, knocked out of the park with his figures, but that's baked in. It's all baked in. The time you invested in Novacyt was in March last year, and you could have done a 30, 40 bag of it then, whatever it was. But the reason why they're popular is because they've performed, the share price has overperformed, and they're very hot, and that's why most private investors are in it. That's why they're popular, because the share price has risen. It's the unpopular companies that will do well and outperform. So it's odd that people see, you know, I see some of these companies, most followed companies of all time, and yet, you know, they're super overvalued, and people are still ramping them, and all of a sudden they start leaving the ship, and it's not going to go anywhere, is it? No, because it's done. The reason why is, like, do you know what? Eggy called me up this week, right? You know, he texts me. He said, Josh, do you know what a company called Eurasia Mining? I said, yeah. I said, I've had him on the podcast about twice. I said, it's done phenomenally well. It's risen. It's like, it's valued at 700 million market cap.
Yeah.
I said, it's got no revenue. They've got DFS coming out, which I don't know what's that. There's been this up for sale apparently for a long time. I said, they're valued at 70. He said, well, the guy next to me in the building, the unit next to me, my business, he said, he's got 70 grand in it. He's putting more in. He said, I should chuck 10 grand in it. I said, listen, it's an explorer in Russia. Yeah. I said, there are safer places to invest. It's also risen by a lot. And the people, generally, when you get to hear, when it stock hits mainstream like that, you know, mate of a mate of a mate, who generally doesn't invest, hears about a stock, it's done.
Did you hear that story about the shoeshine guy?
No, I didn't hear that.
Do you also find as well, a lot of friends, because obviously friends who obviously know you do invest in, they're always asking you about stocks and shares, and one that's just significantly risen. You know, GameStop's been a classic one this week. You know, you invested into GameStop? I'm like, no, of course I'm not. So it's just gone through the roof.
I mean, when it's at the top of the market, that's when everyone in the pub or friends of friends tell friends. That's basically the top of the market. Like I said, my father, the ultimate, you know, of course, Bitcoin has gone up again now, but he was asking about Bitcoin at the top of the market, because that's when the height of fever, you know, is really becoming, everyone's talking about it. That's when everyone hears about it. That's the top of the market, pretty much. I'm not saying it won't go higher, Bitcoin, but generally, if you want to make good money, you are doing research and on companies that no one's talking about, you know, and you're thinking this is undervalued. And that's the same with Escape Hunt. I still think Escape Hunt is the most undervalued company in my portfolio. It's only 20 million market cap. And they've got, like, you know, massive potential still. I still think, in fact, John Story, did you hear John Story in the podcast? He's,
I haven't listened to that yet. It was on Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I will listen to it this weekend.
It's worth listening. But he said to me off the podcast, he said, that's going to be £1 before December, that will skip. And that's what he thinks. I said, really? Yeah. He said, yeah, it will be £1 before. And I sort of believe him. Once you get momentum in the stock and it's starting to happen, once you get the opening up, I think the opening up is going to happen in March, April, fully open, done. We'll have half the population vaccinated. And
everyone will go to escape rooms straight away, won't they?
Well, no, but the thing is, you won't be able to travel. So if you do stuff, if you do stuff, yeah, it's going to be in this country. So any leisure
I want it to do well.
Yeah, no, any leisure stuff you do, anything you want to do, restaurants, you can't travel because there will still be vaccination pass. The thing is, we are way ahead of any other country on vaccinations.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's do a vaccination escape room, a COVID-19 escape room. That'd be good.
Steve.
Yeah. There we are. That's an idea.
Yeah, someone probably sponsored that, like AstraZeneca. So yeah, it wasn't a good sponsor. But honestly, by the way, right, this is an appeal to escape hunt shareholders. And you guys at one, right? Yeah. You own a share of the business. You are business owners. That's the way you should look at it. And in fact, I saw an excellent tweet, I think, or on Instagram or something. It said, frame it like that. You are a business owner. You own a share of a business. When you think like that, you change your thought a little bit. You're not just own a share. Because a share is tradable. Don't think it's tradable. Think it's a business, right? So you are, and it's an appeal now to all escape hunt business holders or shareholders. You own a bit of this company. You're a part owner in that business. So you've got to ask yourself, how can I help the business grow? Because you're going to sit there passively. If you want to help me, then you can do it. And this is how you do it, right? Success of any business depends on how many people use their products, buy their products, whatever, right? But people have to know about the products. Like most businesses, they need promotion. And you can do this. So it's either via word of mouth or via advertising, right? These days, it's hot on social media. So follow Escape Hunt on social media. Like some of their posts. Every now and again, you see one. And they do it very well, actually. In fact, yesterday, they did one with a clues. And you have to find clues in this thing. And it's part of the thing. So if you want to help Escape Hunt grow and raise awareness for that company, you follow all of them on social media. Like them, maybe retweet them or share them if you want to go a bit further. But even just liking them will raise awareness of that company. And it'll grow their network of followers and so have more people to pitch to and word of mouth to carry on. So that's all you need to do. So if you're an escape hunt, business owner, shareholder, and you want to improve the business, literally, go on their social media now. If you're on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, just follow them and like a couple of their posts every now and again. It will help them grow.
And that is more relevant when the stock is or the company rather is a leisure company Joe Public could be interested in. If it's a small cap mining company in far flung lands, a lot of your Twitter followers aren't necessarily going to be interested. Not your Twitter followers, because they're investors. But yeah, I know what you mean. So if you're an investor between friends and family and whatever, they'll be more interested in Escape Hunt than oil and gas.
Also, I say, on the thing, is give it a like. Some of their videos and all that stuff, I post a video of them and they explained how Zoom for businesses work. And share it, give it a like. I put it on LinkedIn so that this business is on there, So it's you are a business owner. How are you going to grow this business? If you want the business to do well, to just sit there and, watch it, help it out, Because and they will get there because, like I said, already, if you look at 18, even in the UK, 16 escape rooms, they're quite well spaced out. Now, you get a 30 even, and that's not even their target, because I think 50 will be international, but 30 in the country, and everyone's within pretty much half an hour drive of a decent escape room, like an escape hunt room. So it'll get to, people will get to know it. But you can help them get there, by just sharing, liking their posts. So if you're going to do anything after this podcast, and you're a holder, and you want to help the business, just follow them on social media and like a couple of their posts. That's all you need to do, and it'll raise awareness. Anyway, there we are. But I just genuinely, do you see Asia Met this week?
I was just about to say, can we talk about Asia Met? Because I am a holder. I still am a holder.
Yeah.
I know you're not.
No.
It's not done well recently, is it?
No.
We've had a knock. No. Things have not gone to plan.
But me and Paddy kept saying, sell it. Because, a year ago now, a couple of years ago, I pivoted from, in fact, probably 2-3 years ago, isn't it? The time goes on. But I pivoted from resource stocks. I started to dislike them more and more, unless they're getting to a revenue stage. Because there's two ways to invest. And I genuinely think you can't be, you're not going to build a lot of wealth if you invest in resource stocks on its own. And because most of them, early on resource stocks, exploration, explorers, because most of them will never get to production. Most of them just won't get bought out. It's like 3% get to become producers. And they rise on news, which is like the potential to generate real revenue in the future. So say, you know, we got lots of stuff in the ground there. It's going to be worth, our NPV is worth 120 million. And the company's worth like 10 million market cap. So, wow, that people, that's a 10 bagger. But no, hang on a sec. To actually get that stuff out of the ground takes a lot of time. You're talking about, you know, liaising with local authorities for environmental permits, all that stuff. And then just even before you start building, you've got to find the money to build the thing, you know, which is high risk. And most people, you're, you know, specialist sort of funders who will prepare to lend you that money. Especially, you look at jurisdictions, you know, like Indonesia, for example. You know, it's not the safest jurisdiction.
Yeah, but okay, and I know what you're saying and all of that. But
it'll drop. Pop and drops.
If you want to
build wealth sustainably, don't go for resource stocks. You may need to trade up to that. When I first started, like I said, it's a good way of making money to start with because they do, you know, they're aggressive. The share price will rise aggressively if it's very small cap on news, but then it'll drop. Because they have to raise more money, and that drop may happen sort of a week later, 2 weeks later, or a month later. Go on.
Yeah, but that's not the situation here, is it? So the situation, like the story was getting better because of the sale and purchase agreement that's all been put in place. That was all happening. This mob of Turnham are all going to be part of that. It was all going to be hunky-dory, $10 million coming in, and there was going to be a flotation. And still, all of the deal was positive. It was all flowing along nicely. So I know what you're saying about the risk and all the rest of it, but that, in theory, was all happening. There was no reason to suspect it wasn't going to happen. It was all going to, other than that, as it does happen to these companies. So there's no reason to kind of doubt it, other than, you know, having a pessimistic view that everything goes wrong. And sure enough, what's happened? They've defaulted. The first inkling was obviously they hadn't paid their $10 million that was owed, and then as part of the agreement, and then this week inevitably the agreement's cancelled. So, you know, that then has a huge knock because loads of people sell and you have a big knock on the share price. But that's not a reason, like the reason you're talking about of like funding and actually, well, it is connected to that, but it's kind of the path that was starting to, the story was getting a lot better and it looked like it was a good agreement and everything was going to be fine. But, you know,
yeah, but do you know what I liked about Asia Met, right? I like Tony.
Yeah.
I like copper, and that's a potential there. And what I didn't like was Indonesia. It's really a hard jurisdiction to work in. That's why one of my filters in investing is keep it simple. Look at the jurisdiction. Is it complex in the setup and all that stuff? And generally, then what comes with a jurisdiction like that is a bag load of risk where you get people will not want to invest in that. Mainstream funders will not want to invest in that or lend you money there. That's why the only resource stock I've actually gone with recently was SO4. And that was because they were close to revenue generation. They still are. In fact, the share price is now going back up. So it looks like another stock I've jumped out of that's going to prove me wrong. But not prove me wrong, but I mean, I went to EV, so that's paid off well. I reallocated the capital very well, and Ilika doubled. Well, the money I used for that went to Ilika. But I think SO4 is in Australia, decent jurisdiction. You know, it's a very safe jurisdiction in a mining province, which, you know, there's plenty of experience and infrastructure there. And so the risk there, to me, as a resource company, close to cash generation, is very low. And I think, but look at the pop and drops in the chart of Asia Met. All the way along. We did a 10 bag on that, and then that's enough. You know, on a resource stock that's pre-revenue, it's not going to get better than that. Sometimes you do.
You haven't lost money on this, Pete, have you? Because you've taken out lots. You've top sliced lots out of them.
I'm still up. Even now, we're sat here and it's 2p, 2.1p at the moment now. It's come back down from 5p the other week or whatever. I'm still, overall, I'm up by about 30, 40%. So, you know.
You've taken profit though, haven't you?
Well, I'm up, yeah. So
No, I mean, you've taken profit out of it in the past though, haven't you?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, if it goes to the floor, then yes, I've lost a few quid, but I don't know. I just sort of think it's a long journey and this has been a big speed bump. But going back to what I was saying just then, like you couldn't foresee that was the sales and purchase agreement was going to just collapse because it all looked pretty good. Other than you can kind of go, well, yeah, those companies, they're a dodgy mob. But I mean, we're not talking about a tin pot company that's given them £5. They're talking about tens of millions of dollars they're going to invest. So I don't know.
All I'm saying is the best thing about, if you notice, we may not notice it. We may notice a bit of volatility at this time, right? But other people I've seen have had horrible weeks. And generally, when you get pre-revenue companies that are very volatile, they take big knocks on weeks like this, right? And in fact, you know, if you look at the most hype stocks, in fact, the most volatile in our portfolio is probably Ilika, you know, and that's because it's, you know, it's highly valued. Well, if you compare to American peers, it's not. But I mean, it's highly valued on traditional metrics in the UK, but it's an EV stock, and we know EV is the future. So what price do you put on the future? This at this level, it's probably priced in the next five years, yes. But not say it won't go a lot higher. It could be a £1 billion company within a couple of years because EV is coming closer, production is coming closer. But I mean, generally the rest of our portfolio, you know, they are quite, for small caps, they've been quite unvolatile. They've been quite stable. And so they've bounced back a little bit. But I'm just saying, if you want to build wealth, okay, you may need to start trading. And ironically, and it's perversely, when you have less experience and you have less money, you probably have to take on more risk. When it shouldn't be like that. You know a lot less, more about the. So I know we've built a bit of a pot, so we can take on less risk and we can diversify more. So you may need to trade up a little bit.
I would say that with my portfolio, it's like Asia Met is one of only two resource stocks I have now out of like 10 stocks that I have. And it's diversified. And even that one, because even on this news, like I said, I'm still up. So
Do you know what? One of the first lessons is, like I said, get in early. That's all. Yeah. And that's, again, when we started talking about Asia Met, no one was talking about it. And Sasha, you know, like, and we started talking about it. And then it was like, what's the price of Asia Met now? I don't know what it is. What are we buying it?
We bought it at 1.2.
So even now, it's more twice what we bought at. You know, we bought it just around about a penny. But so even after, we went at 14 pence, didn't it? So we get, again, like all investments, getting early, get the right price, you know, and then hold on. If you get a good price to a good company, hold on.
Like 9, 10p, I sold some and whatever, and I bought back in at 2p, and that would.
No, but
down.
The difference is, you were defending your position. I'm not criticising your position because you've done well out of it and you've in a profit. There's lots of people who haven't, who've bought up under 10 pence, you know. And what I'm saying, I'm talking about the sector itself, and as an investment strategy, if you want to build long term in a wealth, what you do is invest in companies that are sustainably growing.
Yes.
And by that, I mean they're generating revenue already, they're getting towards profitability. Like all the companies I'm in, pretty much, you know, have a pathway to profitability without having to fundraise.
And that's very
important.
I'm not looking out for more resource stocks. I think I agree with you now, and I've learned that. But for Asia Met, on that news this week, my gut feeling is not to sell. My gut feeling is, hold on, there's some assets there, some big assets, and copper's on the rise, copper price is on the rise. I don't know. Let's see.
I think the only time you sell that, Pete, is when basically you pass it on in your will.
someone else will
sell it. Yeah, and to you, Pete leaves his Asia Met shares. They're still pre-production.
You know what? I'll leave it to you, Justin.
Yeah, I'll be dead before you, won't I? Surely. But do you know what? And that's an important thing. If you want to build wealth, think about it. Is the company you're investing in? Has it got a pathway to profitability without going back to the market? That's important. And if they can do that, if they've got a line of sight to profitability, because that's generating real value, that's why shares rise sustainably. You're building real value, basically making cash. You know, you're selling something for a margin there, and what you're selling for, and you're getting money in this margin, you're building up a pile there. If you can do that, then that's real value. But
can I also say another reason that I am involved in this whole thing and investing in all these companies? It's just the excitement of it. And I do find it, I don't know if funny is the right word, but I do get a sort of humour. Like if they announce a placing on Monday at like 1.5p or something, but oh man, and that's just going to really, come on. Equally though, if they announce
something. Have they got cash? Have they got cash now or not?
Well, what's the situation now? Because they were banking on that 10 million coming in, and then ultimately more coming in as part of the agreement.
See, that's a double kick in the balls, isn't it? Really? So first of all, that money that everyone's, hey, it's gone, they may have to raise some more money now. Surely,
aren't they, they're ripe for a takeover because of, well, the assets they've got, they've progressed along this path. They are The copper price is rising.
Yeah, you know, no, so the thing is, Tony's experience...
Somebody might wade in and go 4p, 5p, we'll buy the whole company, whatever.
That's what the shareholders are saying, I'm hoping, if all, yeah. But in reality, you know, what I like about this, Tony and copper, that's it. And I think that's you know, they developed this, they're sufficiently along that development curve as an asset. But... And I know I get people saying, you know, oh, it's all stocks. You should only talk about shut up, rubbing your stocks. but all I'm saying is, you know, I love investing because it's an evolving thing and you always learn and it hits you in the pocket if you don't do it correctly and it makes you learn. And that's my journey. I've decided that, you know, if I want to make decent money, I've got to put a decent chunk in, a small cap company that has sustainable growth. And I have to pick that company very carefully because I can't just sell the stock. I've got to be able to hold it until it's big enough with big enough liquidity for me to get out. And it's the same with quite a few companies. I just can't get out of some of these companies on a whim on a day because I can't. There's no liquidity there. So I am in it for a long term in these companies. Yeah. You know, and I make that decision because they've got to be sustainable. I don't want to... having a big chunk of stock that's going, you know, up, down 30% one day, up 30% the next day, and then doesn't know if it's got funding sorted for the next day. I don't want that. I want a stock that's going to be generating real value so I know the share price is on an upward trajectory, a trend. So that's I don't know, anyway.
But you know the thing about Asia Met, if I'd sold out at like 5p, 6p the other week or whatever, you just know it would then, like that agreement would have gone through and something else would have happened and it would be 10p. But, oh, man, I should have held on.
That's my life, Pete, don't worry.
Exactly. So
that's why Gfinity's done so well, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why Gfinity's doing amazing because I took a big chunk out of it.
Yeah. Anyway, that bounced back a bit, didn't it, this week? It dropped down, it broke 6p, come back down. But that's going to do... That's shares. If you look at it, the zoom out that share price, it's higher lows all the way. It does have volatile days, but it's basically climbing. It's climbing. Anyway.
Well, and same with Ilika. I mean, you mentioned it, but I want to buy more, but it's been really hot. I wanted to cool down. It was cooling down. It then had a rise on Friday.
Well, Paddy said that. I just think, do you know what? I prefer to put it, I'm not joking, because I'm a significant holder, but I still think there's more upside and safe upside if you look at valuation-wise, in Escape Hunt. It's only 20 million market cap. Ilika's like 350 million market cap. There's no revenue. You know, of course, the future's big for it. But still, it's risen very quickly. I'm not saying we'll rise farther, but...
But surely the multiples you'd value it on is just different than Escape. Escape Rooms, I know they've got the digital element, but there are bricks.
Yeah, but it's 20 million, it's nothing. That's nothing. No. Just started.
Yeah, but they're not break-even yet, are they?
They will be, yeah. Once we unlock... unlock in 2 months' time, the economy will be back to normal. Again, look forward. This time, this end of the year, they'll be flying. About 20 sites flying.
Like in September, and you said there wouldn't be another national lockdown, and we've had two more.
Yeah, but no, even Boris said that though. But now we've got. The thing is, we didn't have the game changer of the vaccine. You know, that's the game changer, isn't it? Really, and also everything's improving. Antivirals getting better, treatments getting better, everything's getting better. So it'll be like flu in the end. But you know, people who need the vaccine will get it. Other people don't need the vaccine, but we'll live with it. That's it.
Paddy's just messaged saying, "Are you still going?" So let's try and patch him into the call.
Oh, I'm going to get told off for the missus here, but...
running out of time. I was going to say a live report from the vaccine centre.
Okay. Where is he? Well, are you there then, Paddy? He's not in, is he? I'll say when he calls, I'll say we've got to go, Pad.
Yes, okay.
I'm calling him now. I'm calling Paddy. Paddy?
You all right, lads?
Yeah, have you had your vaccine?
I've had the vaccine.
Oh, yeah, so round of applause, Paddy. Yeah, well, badge. Well done, you got a badge there. What a hero.
Our 85-year-old friend, Paddy.
Yeah, first of all, why did you get the vaccine, Pad?
Oh, I've got like an immune condition.
Yeah, well, we all have.
Okay. Yeah.
Was it good? We're just finishing, Pad, because I've got to go, but was it anything to note? Was it well organised? Tell me.
Absolutely nothing to note. Exactly. Queue up, get a needle in your arm, get kicked out. They give you a sticker though. It's a nice sticker.
No biscuits.
Do you know what?
No biscuits.
Do you know what?
Very little refreshments.
Let me tell you one thing, right? There aren't people hanging around, are they? Daffy next door, she's 80-odd, right? She's having a vaccine today, Saturday. She's really looking forward to it. For 80-year-olds, it's a nice day out.
Very jolly atmosphere. Very jolly atmosphere.
You realise it's a nice day out for 80-year-olds. They're loving it. You know, the nurse was saying, trouble is, it takes a bit longer because they come in and they're chatting and they'll take several layers of clothes off because it's winter and they're chatting away. So how long have you been doing this, dear? And said, this is not a day out, dear. This is vaccination. But you realise, you see Daphne, she looks out the window most of the day. She's like a little doggy and looks out the window, goes for a walk around the block. That, to her, is a day out. That's why it takes so long, because the old 80-year-olds are loving it. It's like a, you know, it's like a day to theme park for the younger kids. It's like, ooh, hello, fancy, hello, Joan. I've seen you for weeks. So, anyway, lads, sorry about that. I've got to go, because Fred's doing an exam. I've got to help out with that. I'm 5 minutes late. Right.
right, OK.
Have a nice weekend. Speak to you next week.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.